Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, welcome to the sixth episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. Hope you're well. Nice to see summer's finally arrived. I've been enjoying running in Amsterdam, where I now live, the last couple of weeks. Always nice to discover a new city on the run. And I've been getting really excited about this year's Rio Olympics. There's lots of Diamond League races on at the moment. I think tonight is the Oslo meeting, Bislett Games. And one race in particular I'm looking forward to both tonight and at Rio is the 1500 metres, where Asbel Kiprop, the favourite. Kiprop's been amazing this year. If you design a runner in a lab, you probably make him exactly like Kiprop. And he seems to be able to win races at will at the moment, which is really exciting. He doesn't seem to get a lot of attention, but I think he's going to do a Rhodesia this year and break the world record at the Olympics, which would be really exciting. So if you don't know him, check him out. Have a look at the games tonight. One person who'd like to be alongside Asbel in the Athletes Village at Rio this year is my interviewee. It's 5,000 metre runner Johnny Davis. Johnny is the current European under 23 cross country champion. And recently he ran the qualifying time for the Rio Games in a race in Belgium. He ran 13:23 for 5k. So he's got a great chance, if he can run well at the trial, of making it across to Rio. Now, Johnny's a really consistent athlete and he always seems to run well in the big races. I'm really interested in running from a mental standpoint, and I spoke to Johnny a lot about his mental approach to running, how he prepares for these big races, and how he's building up for the trials and hopefully the Rio Olympics subsequently to that. I hope it makes for interesting listening. I hope Johnny has a great race at the trials, and I hope to catch up with you all again next week. So, you've been running since a teenager. How did you get into running originally?
When I was little, my main sport was always football, and that's where my heart always was. I was playing loads of football, but it was at a few school races. One of my best mates was part of the athletics club, and at the time he did middle distance. He went on to become a 400-meter hurdler, but you know, I beat him at a school cross country. It was around the outside perimeter of the schools. It was all in road, but for whatever reason, it was called the school cross country, and I won that. And my mate was like, "Oh, you got to come down to the club." So it was funny actually. I went down the first time. And I was going to join, but then there was a waiting list, and it wasn't until about 6 months later that I actually joined the club. I mean, to start with, I was turning up once a week, but I was still playing football, but gradually I started taking the running more and more seriously.
Do you still play football now?
No, I got banned from a coach. it's not allowed anymore. You know, I still occasionally have a cheeky kickabout with my mates, but to be fair, if I do have a kickabout, everything gets really sore because it's completely different muscles. I can't do it.
We can move really well going in one direction.
Yeah, I can't change
your
direction.
You have to go the other way. And you started winning races fairly early on, particularly on the track. And did you realise quickly you had a talent for it at that stage?
Yeah, I think to start with, I was just kind of enjoying it. I wasn't thinking about going. I've always been ridiculously competitive. So every race I started, I was trying to win it. And early on, that was always my aim. I wasn't there just to compete. And I think it's probably the same for a lot of people starting at that time. You're there to win. I've always had that. Funny enough, I think actually when I first really had a bit of talent was when there was a Young Athletes League final, and I was doing a 1500, and it was up against a much better field than I'd been in before. And I came through this race and I managed to finish second. It was like the last race of the year, And I'd just been on holiday for 2 weeks with my parents, and like when I've been out there, I'd just run every other day, and I had zero training. So my philosophy was like, run every day, run as hard as you can for half an hour. Which I came back and I've actually got into like quite good shape, and I came and ran a 10-second PB, came second in this race, and my coach, who's always been my coach, he took me up to the stand with my parents and said, yeah, you've got a bit of talent here, and that was the first time I was like, oh yeah, maybe I, you know, can be a decent runner.
How old were you then?
So I would have been 15, I believe, 14 or 15.
And you slowly kind of phased out the football from then? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I still play football for my school team on and off for a little bit. But yeah, it just started getting phased out, and I started, you know, undertaking a training plan, and running became more important.
You started off kind of on the track. Do you do cross country in the winter, track in the summer?
Yeah.
And you've started to kind of replicate the success you had on the track initially, on the cross country as well. And last year you were the first British man since Mo Farah, was that right, to win
a
European
title? Yeah, which is not too bad. Yeah, I think. Yeah, for me, I just kind of followed the traditional, you know, athletics club formula. Do track in your summer, you do a few road relays coming into the autumn, and then you do your cross-country season, and I just always followed that. And I was quite lucky in the fact that I can transition pretty well between all the surfaces. I find whatever form I've had on the track, then it goes into the cross-country and vice versa.
Do you have a preference, cross-country or track?
The thing is, like, because I probably started to be slightly more successful in cross country, and everyone assumed I prefer cross country, and it's not true at all. I much prefer the track. It's warm, you're not freezing cold the whole time. Distances are a little bit short. It's a nice experience. There's a place for cross country, and it'll always be in my heart, to be fair, and I've had great experiences on the cross, so you know, I like them both, but yeah, I have to say track.
The race last year, the under 23 championships, did you go in thinking you might have a chance of winning that race?
Yeah, it was a strange one. Like, my target had been from the start of that cross season to go and win a medal. The year before, I'd had an awful build-up. I came 30th and pretty disappointed. It was always been my aim, and it was a strange. Like, I thought I had a chance, but my running against the race wasn't ideal. I had a bit of injury and illness coming into it. But obviously, I just started the race and felt good and got the tactics right on the day. So you always got to believe that you got a chance to win a race like that. So.
Because the Brits were fairly high up in that race, weren't they?
All of us were pretty competitive. I think you know, the thing about those European races is, I think as a Brit, we go in there probably with the strongest team of anyone. So you've got to believe, if you've been selected for the British team, then you can go and be pretty competitive in that race. And that's always what I've thought when I've been in those races, that, you know, I've been good enough to be selected by GB, so I should go in there and you know, be right up there at the front. And that's how it turned out for all the Brits, to be fair, in that race. And we unfortunately just missed out on the team title to Spain, but there wasn't a lot in it.
And like, you're remarkably consistent. Like, I've having looked down your Power 10, and there's like a stream of ones and twos and stuff for a few years. And I was looking on Facebook, and the people were talking about their favourite runners, and someone, Andy Norman, mentioned you're one of his favourite athletes because you've got a really good big race mentality. I'm quite interested in, like, your mental approach to competing. Do you prepare mentally, or do you just try to go in there, don't think, overthink it, and just try and compete?
I don't overthink it. It's funny because the last few years at Birmingham, I've had access to a sports psychologist, so I kind of talk through races before I go into them, especially the big ones. But I think actually naturally I have quite a good attitude to racing. I get nervous, but those nerves don't kind of get on top of me, if that makes sense. You know, I go in there and I think, you know, I'm just at the right level, and whatever I produce in training, I pretty much can go and do it in a race. And I've always been like that. So if I'm training well, I know going into a race, I'm going to race that well. And I think the more that happens, you kind of just think that's always going to happen kind of thing. So I've always been consistent, and I always expect myself to be consistent, and therefore I always am.
Did they give you any tips, the psychologist, particularly like visualisation and all that?
We literally just talk through the race. We either just talk it through completely, and I just say, you know, what I'm thinking about, what I'm worried about. Sometimes we write stuff down and think, what's the goal? What are the challenges to get to that goal? And like, how are you going to overcome them? And you just kind of simplify everything by doing that. So yeah, I think that helps me, to be fair, doing that and being able to just sort of talk it out and keep everything simple, and, you know, little things like controllables and don't worry about things that are outside, like, you know, like the weather, because you can't do anything about the weather, but you do worry about what you have for breakfast. So.
And obviously, every single race can't have gone exactly to plan. How do you deal with setbacks and things? Are you quite good at sort of parking sort of bad feelings about races and not worrying about it too much?
Yeah, I don't generally get, if I have a good race, I'm not that sort of like, I'm really happy, but I kind of get over it a few days and get back to training. It's the same if I had a bad race. I don't tend to dwell on things for too long. I think actually, because I had a race on Friday in France, that didn't go well, and you know, Saturday I was feeling pretty miserable, but now I'm just like, next target, you go again kind of thing. So I think for me it's always, you kind of just got to stay pretty level in everything that you do, and I've always tried to do that, and I think on the whole I have done. I think that's helped me.
And you just ran, well, we should say congratulations first, just ran the 5,000 metre qualifying time for the Olympics in Belgium. Had you earmarked this race for a shot at a qualifier?
Thank you very much. Yes, so that was always my target from the start of this track season. So it was actually quite strange. Well, like that, this Belgian race was always the big one to go and get the time for me. And you know, I was hoping I'd be in the A race, because I did the same race last year. I was in the B race, which was perfect for me at the time. But you know, I needed to be in the A race. And to be fair, everything went perfectly up until that race, the start of the season. I was actually out in Font-Romeu doing altitude training for about a month. And it was quite funny, because before that, I was not in the shape that I wanted to be. And I remember talking to a few people before saying, you know, I'm going to go out there and pretty much gamble on my training a bit, go up and work really hard. And you know, if I get injured or whatever, then that's just going to be a gamble I take. And actually, everything went perfectly up until this race. And you know, ran a good time and got myself into the shape to run it. So,
where does it leave you now in terms of selection?
Well, guaranteed selection, you need the time twice and you need to come top two at the trial. Obviously, I've got the time once and I've got the trial in 3 weeks' time. So, because the trial is now pretty soon, I need to put another block of training in. I'm going to like just focus on that and aim for the top two finish there. And then I've got a 3 week window to get a time again. You know, I'm part of Run Fast and they find me races and they've been brilliant this year. So it'll be, you know, a case of them hopefully finding me a good race after the trial, hoping I've come top two hopefully, and getting another quick time down. But at the moment, my focus is completely on the trial, and that's everything at the moment for me.
That's in Birmingham, is that
right?
That
is in Birmingham, yes. So at the Alexander, where I do be doing most of my track work this year. So I don't know.
You like running at home?
It is. I'm not sure it actually gives you an advantage, because you just think, oh, God, there's a lot of racks around it. But it can't be a bad thing. I'm pretty familiar with the stadium and everything. So.
And you've remained with the same coach, you said, throughout your career?
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with him? Because is he based out in Reading?
Yeah, he's based in Reading, but through my time at university, I've always had one coach. And, you know, first year, I'm not going to say things didn't work well, but they could have been better. And, like, I think one of my biggest problems in my first year was, you know, wasn't the best at communicating. So that's one thing that we've really worked on. And now we have a pretty good link between my coach at home, Rob, and then the support team in Birmingham. So obviously I'm on a scholarship there, so there's a physiologist, psychologist, nutritionist. As well as that, where I can, and my coach knows at the home, I like training with the Birmingham group as much as possible, where it fits in my training. So it's all about communicating between that circle and, you know, where things work, and I can train with the group, I do. I'm going to do my own things, I do, but it's worked well for me.
And who's in that group with you?
So there's obviously the Run Fast group, and then there's the university group itself. This year I've probably done most of my training with a group of, actually they're all steeplechasers, so Luke Gunn, Dougie Musson, so these, and Johnny Hopkins, they're all out with me in Font-Romeu. And then, you know, I've joined in with the Birmingham group at times as well, where it's worked with me. So there's a great group of guys in Birmingham who you train with. To be honest, it's probably, I reckon, one of the best setups in the country. To be fair, there's so many runners, you know, people doing different sessions, but people like to work together. And Bud is obviously the coach there, and he's brilliant. And obviously, I'm not one of his athletes, but he's the most supportive guy. He always give you help, always have the time of day for you, which is great. Same goes for Luke Gunn as well, because he's the coach himself now, and he's going to the Olympics himself, but you know, he always help me out and be there, which is great.
What does a typical training week look like now during the track season?
So right now, the volume's gone down a little bit from what it was. Monday, you do a double. That's come down a little bit in drills. So it'll be like 30 minutes and 40 minutes, or 30 minutes and 45. Tuesday will be a faster track session and a double. Fast track session, something like 9 300s is really quite mixed depending on what we're looking at in the next upcoming weeks, and that changes. Wednesday I've got my S&C and do an hour run. Thursday, throughout the year, I love doing tempos. I think they work really well for me for getting fit. So the difference is now at this time of year, instead of doing a 30-minute single block on the treadmill, I do maybe 4 times 7.5 minutes, but slightly quicker. I then double on the Thursday and probably do some sprint work as well. Friday, either rest or an easy run. Saturday, longer reps on the track, so up to mile reps, which are unpleasant, but they're mile reps at 5k race pace, so maybe 4 of them, which this year is probably something I've done a bit differently to last year. It may have helped me a bit. I've done basically longer reps at race pace. So when going into that race in Belgium, for instance, I think I was much more comfortable at running that pace than maybe I would have been before. Another double on Saturday, so just go out 30 minutes. Then Sunday, long run, which has come down to about 75, 80 minutes now, where it was at 90. And to be fair, in the middle of the winter, it's up to hour 45. So that's a nice come down. And then S&C again on a Sunday afternoon.
Cool. And so you said in the winter, you're slightly longer on that longer run. Does the rest of the week change? Are you doing kind of slightly different work in the...
Yeah, I think the main difference really is maybe slightly bigger volume in terms of the runs, but actually the sessions are the things that are bigger. So in the winter, we're doing big sessions on the grass on the Tuesday, and same on the Saturday, you do things like, you know, long reps on the hills and things like that.
And do you pay much attention to nutrition and stuff? I suppose you're working with a sports team there in Birmingham. Do they help you out with that stuff?
Yeah, I'm increasingly doing more and more. I think you've got to, if you want to be sort of competing at the best, then you have to do those little things right. And I know for a fact I'm not the first athlete in terms of nutrition now. I'm still a university student, so things aren't perfect, but my most important thing is, you know, obviously I'm naturally very light. I don't need to worry about my weight, but it's kind of that after session, getting the right things in that first half an hour window, and then getting your meal in as quickly possible. It's those kind of things which have helped me I've probably improved most recently. I think the other important thing is you need to be consistent with your meals. So I used to sometimes miss breakfast or just have like an apple because I'm late for a lecture. So now I'm a little bit better that I try and have a consistent breakfast, consistent lunch, consistent dinner, and I like snacking around it. I don't eat perfectly, but I think when you're running 80, 90 miles a week, you can kind of get away with it. So.
And to finish off, I've got sort of three quite quick questions I'm going to ask everybody that we interview on the podcast.
Yeah.
And they are, the first one is, what is your favourite make and model of shoe or spike you've ever worn?
I have to go Adidas. I haven't really worn anything other than an Adidas athlete, so I have to say the Avantis. But actually, I'm going to say the Avantis from this year, because this year they've put the Boost foam on them, and I think they're beautiful and they look good as well. So easy on that.
I think Adidas quality is. I know you say this as an Adidas athlete, but the quality I feel is much better. Like, they seem much more durable than a lot of other stuff I've worn. So.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased, actually. I wouldn't be with Adidas if I didn't, you know, think the kit was good. So I really like their stuff, to be fair. And yeah, I think this spike, especially this year, I think they're the best I've ever been. So.
Cool. And can you recommend, it doesn't have to be a running one, a TV show, film, book or podcast?
I think, you know, TV show, it's going to be boring because most people watch anyway, but Game of Thrones, I love that. Yeah, there's has to be Game of Thrones. I've got nothing else.
It's a good shout.
It's a good shout.
Yeah. And what's the most amazing athletic performance ever of all time, in your opinion?
I mean, that's a hard question. I think they're like purely world records, and I think I'd say Paul Radcliffe's world record, marathon world record. I don't think you can go much beyond that, just because it's so much faster than what anyone else has done. But having said that, you know, I think actually in the recent few years, Mo Farah's consistency is probably quite unparalleled, really, what anyone else has ever done. And actually, you think his consistency is unbelievable, because, you know, you talk about how, you know, I'm pretty consistent, but, you know, I have the odd bad race. He doesn't have the odd bad race. He's always right on it, which I think, you know, you kind of just expect it from someone, but it's actually it's a pretty impressive trait that someone has to be able to be that consistent every single race.
Yeah. I was reading Let's Run this morning, the that American website, and there was people like doubting him. They were saying his performance in Birmingham, because he just got the British record, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were saying he looked all over the place and how he looks as if he's like he's lost his speed. And I was like, gee, he just broke the you know, a long-standing British record. You can't complain with that.
I'm really not sure where they're coming from there. The guy just runs 7:32. He's done that 2.5 laps on his own. I can tell you, Birmingham is not the nicest or not the quickest track anyway. There's certainly a wind blowing around there, so I'm not quite sure what they're basing that on. But you know what? Honestly, if any of Mo Farah's rivals right now, I'd be pretty worried about the shape he's in. And hopefully, I'll be on the team with him in Rio. Hopefully, I can be a bit worried about it as well.
Nice one, excellent. Well, cheers for that.
No worries, thank you.
Yeah, good luck for making that Rio team.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Hopefully, you get one of those three spots.
Nice. That'll be the aim. That'll be the dream.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.